You're listening to Rendezvous with a Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Where readers and writers meet.
And story is everything.
We're your hosts tonight, Jim and Bobby Bell. You've just been listening to Hot Texas Swing Band with their rendition of Hot Texas.
And they open and close the show for us every week. And we thank you, Alex Dorman and the Hot Texas Swing Band. Thanks. So here we are, episode 154. You'll be able to watch this immediately after it plays through live on Facebook and on LA Talk Radio's Facebook page and Rendezvous with a Writer's Facebook page. And it'll also be found on YouTube later this evening. And I will post the audio up on Podbean this evening, where you can find it on Spotify and Amazon Music and all those places.
No excuse, no sinner.
Listen to it. We are delighted to have you with us tonight, and we have a full house. Jim, who are our guests tonight?
Oh, my goodness. We're going to start off with Richard Prosh.
Welcome back, returning guest Richard Prosh, and here he is with Gina Prosh. Hello, hello. So we start off with a question for each of you.
And then let's get Kyle on here now.
Yeah, well, go ahead. Sam, go ahead and bring on Kyle, if you would. Kyle Merriman's going to join the show. And along with Kyle, in a moment, we will have Phil Mills Jr. There's Kyle. Hello, hello. And hello, Phil. The gang's all here.
They are.
It's wonderful to see a screen full with so many faces. We love that. So let's start with Richard and Gina. So where are you joining us from tonight?
We're joining you from just outside Jefferson City, Missouri.
All right.
Right in the middle of the state.
And they are both award-winning authors. And tonight, Richard, in a little bit, will be actually taking over the reins of the show. But before we do that, so Richard, what was your favorite children's story growing up, or children's book?
Well, we mentioned it earlier in one of the things we talked about in the early chats, but it was Harold and the Purple Crayon.
Harold and the Purple Crayon.
Just because of the visuals.
The visual, yeah. And Gina, what about you?
Hard to get down to just one. I love the Boxcar Children. I love Nancy Drew. And in second grade, Miss Morrow read Heidi to us after lunchtime every day. And I've never read Heidi again because it will never live up to the magic that it was when Miss Morrow read that book to us.
Yes, I agree with you. Let's see, do you want to ask Kyle the same questions?
And you, Kyle, did you have a favorite book as a young fella growing up?
As a young fella? Loved Harry the Dirty Dog. It's an older children's book. Love that one. And Where the Wild Things Are. I read that.
Oh, yeah. Ran that one. Yep.
And guest Kyle Merriman is an award-winning children's illustrator. And Kyle, where are you joining us from?
South Jordan, Utah. It's a Salt Lake City suburb, so just right in the center of the state.
Okay. Good. And then we have a gentleman in a white cowboy hat. Yeah. Yes. Do you want to ask Mr. Mills the same
Bill question? Bill Mills Jr., yes. Did you have a favorite book growing up as a young fella?
You know, I did. Old Yeller is the one that struck me the most. I think the fact that it didn't have a happy ending maybe has stuck with me all these years. But to tell you the truth, I grew up about an hour from Hannibal, Missouri. So, you know, Mark Twain, Tom Sawyer, Huckleberry Finn were books that I drifted toward as well. So, yes.
And again, Phil Mills Jr., an award-winning author. And Phil, where are you joining us from tonight?
I live in Texas. I'm just west of Fort Worth, Texas, near Weatherford, Texas.
So some months ago, Richard Prosh, the gentleman in the black hat, suggested that we should have a fun evening with some children's book writers and illustrators. And we said, what a great idea.
We did.
And then we said, do you know any? And so here is Richard with Gina and Phil and illustrator Kyle. And Richard, take the show away. It's in your hands.
So we've got everybody here tonight is an award-winning creator of some kind. Gina's an award-winning writer. Kyle's an award-winning artist. And Phil's an award-winning Western author and children's book author. And I think it's safe to say that each of them have done something other than children's books. There have been other things they've worked in, other areas they've worked in. So I wanted to start out with each one, just in general, asking why do you work in children's books? Why did you decide to go into children's books to start with or to from what you were doing before? What is it about children's books that you like? And I thought we would start with Phil. Phil, you know, you had a lot of, there was a trilogy. I remember there's a trilogy of Westerns you did for adults, and you've done some other things in your life. But why turn now to children's books? And you've done several.
Well, that's a good question. And thanks for asking. I have a lot of grandkids. I have 8 grandkids, and I wanted to write something that, one that would leave somewhat of a lasting legacy, if you will, for them that would, be something that I could share my talents with and get some of my feelings and my opinions and the like out for them, you know, because we live so far apart anymore. I thought, well, if I put it in writing, it'll be there not only for them, but for their kids and going forward long after I'm gone. So I decided I want to write something for the grandkids. And so that my first book was Scooter the Cowdog, and it's taken off. And quite honestly, I felt like, as you mentioned earlier, that I've written some other genres as far as Westerns and the like, and I was in newspaper work, magazine work through the years, but I wanted to get into the children's books so that I could leave something for my grandkids, basically. So that's why I jumped into it. And quite honestly, I'm becoming better known as a children's book author than I ever was anything else.
Wow.
What about you, Kyle?
That is a good question. I kind of always wanted to do children's media. I went to school to be like a game artist, an animated film studio artist. And my first job out of school was with publisher doing children's books. And that wasn't necessarily my plan, but I loved seeing the end result. Bringing the idea of the author to life and then seeing how kids reacted to it was kind of magical and fun. And it's just a special experience. You get to create something for kids that will last with them. It could be their favorite book. You never know. And I'm still doing things I would have done at a movie studio. I design characters, scenes, and play with colors. It's very enjoyable. So it's pretty much the same thing, but just a different medium. And I enjoy it.
Have you had some of that experience of having, you know, one-on-one with some kids, some fans or kids in real life that respond to you? And it's kind of that, wow.
Yeah, definitely. People I didn't know that had bought a book I had worked on had learned a lesson from it. And sometimes some of the books we work on have a very direct, explicit message on how to get someone to change a behavioral pattern. That's what some of the publishers I work with do. And I'm always wondering, is it going to come through? And certainly, like, kids have learned good habits, good behavioral patterns from a book I've worked on. It's very surprising.
Yeah, you know, I think Gina's had that experience with having kids, and not just students, but then kids who respond to her written books. And Gina and Kyle have worked together on some books. But Gina, what is it that made you first think about writing a children's book?
Well, back in the 90s, we did a comic book together that we had self-published. Mm-hmm. And then I did lots and lots of other things, and was working with some, for adults, books on emotional resilience and being grateful, that sort of thing. And I realized, you know, why wait until you're like 22 or 38 or 47 to start really jumping in on that emotional resilience, looking for joy, looking for hope, looking for love, those kinds of things. Let's start younger and maybe like avoid the therapeutic rush where we all need counseling or something. So that's where I decided to move into to try writing a children's book. And so that's kind of how I kind of backed into it.
So yeah, Gina has a background in education. So there is that a little bit. And Phil, you were talking about your grandkids. What do your grandkids think about your books? I mean, I'm assuming, hoping they like them, right?
They do. But I tell you, my grandkids run from 10 months old all the way up to like 22 years old. But I'll tell a quick story. The very first book, Scooter, I took the first manuscript to my granddaughter, who was about 14 at the time, and I let her read it. And quite honestly, she almost went to sleep reading it. And I was so disappointed. I mean, she was my focus group, my one child that, the age group I was trying to reach. And she had absolutely no reaction positive at all. And so I almost gave up at that point because I'm missing the point somewhere. And I realized after letting my daughter read it that she said, "You haven't got anything in there that she can relate to." And I said, "Well, all right, let me go back and read it." And at that point, I had this dog get in all kinds of trouble. You know, he's tracking mud through the house. He's doing this and doing that. Well, now the granddaughter could relate. She'd been in trouble for some of those same type of things, and I could make it relatable to her. And she liked it much better the second time or the third time around as I went to her. So I've got a wide range group and age group there to try to reach out to, and more maybe coming along at some point in the future. And so, it gives me a wide audience to try to keep up with.
Bobby, if we've got time, I wanted to just go quickly through. We asked what were the favorite books when we were all growing up. I'd like to ask each of the participants what their favorite book is that they've done. What's your favorite book, Kyle? What's your favorite book that you've done? Is there a favorite that you remember and you think, man, that was great?
There are a lot of them, but doing Joy with Gina was it could be my favorite children's book so far. I just think it had a really poignant message, and I think that's why I put so much into the cover, and it got a big response.
It really did, and we got here it is.
Yeah, good. Yes.
Good.
Yes.
This turned out so well. What's your favorite book, Gina?
I think my favorite is Joy, simply because it's the first one. But
yeah,
I mean, I really love what Kyle did with Mike with the cat Aunt Gladys that showed up in Love, and she just kind of came with her own character there. She kind of started to do her own thing, took on a life of her own. So that was a lot of fun too.
What do you think, Phil? What's your favorite of all the books you've written?
Well, the children's books. I think the most recent one, The Story, is probably my favorite at this point, because it's based on something that I did as a in high school. Yeah. And so there's some personal interaction there as far as getting that story told and getting it out there. Prior to that, though, Bandit the Cow Dog was my favorite. I've got it here as well. It won a couple of major awards, but it's about accepting responsibility. And I think that has had that whole experience has been very well received among parents and children who have read it and seen what the ramifications are if you're not accepting responsibility. But the story probably is my favorite right now because it's about honesty and fessing up when you do something that you shouldn't have done.
Yes.
Bobby, did you have something?
Well, let's see. Well, you know, we could, Richard, why don't we just, if Mr. Sam is listening, we'll just go ahead to the first break because it seems like maybe this would be a good time to do that. So let me say something about the first break. if I could find my right outline, I came to the table with way too many papers. So let's see. Our first break is about our sponsors, Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison. Are you a writer? Maybe you'd like to increase your social media presence, refresh your website, or like we did, launch a new landing page or website. Our sponsors, Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison, are standing by to assist you and hear some exciting news about something they're offering for writers. And we will be right back to this full house of award winners. Don't go away. Authors, welcome home. Every author needs a website, a home base for their brand. Professionally showcase your books and brand with a custom website landing page starting at $369. Bluebookshelf.com. It's a great feeling to be home. Contact the Blue Cottage team today to get started.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Rendezvous with the Writer with special guests, and we have several. Richard Frost, Gina Frost, Kyle Merriman, Bill Mills Jr., and we're talking about children's books.
We are, but you know, we didn't really introduce Richard like we really often do. You have a bio.
We do have a bio.
We have a bio. I don't know. We're not organized. Too many friends in the bar at the party.
Richard, we're going to read this bio, okay? Richard Frost's work has appeared in Mystery Magazine, Down and Out Magazine, Tough Crime, Wild West, and online at Boys Life. Winner of the Royal Rogers Medallion and the Multiple Peacemaker Award finalist position, Richard took home a Spur Award for Western Writers of America for short fiction. His 2022 novel, Pony Boys, was a Spur Award finalist. As an anthologist, his book packages have garnered the Spur, Peacemaker, and Will Rogers Medallion for their contributors. All right.
And we have to hold up Through Western Storms. Richard was with us twice earlier this year, and he brought along authors that had contributed to this anthology. And I think, Richard, you just published a new anthology, didn't you?
Yeah. Late this summer, my book of my own stories. This is a collection of my stories. A Gentleman Detective came out, and it has older stories that came out before, and then several new stories that have just seen light in 2025. So some brand new stories as well. So it was exciting to put that in.
Yes. That's very exciting. And I apologize that somehow, I don't know, we missed that, Richard, in the first segment, but we're just so delighted that you're with us. Yeah. And we're going to go ahead and, yes, go ahead. Did you want to say?
Well, we were speaking of publishers and things, and I thought everybody, I would touch on each participant and say, so Gina and Kyle, they've worked together now. We've talked about the Holly books that Gina and Kyle have done together. So those have been published by Boys Town Press. And I thought, Gina and then Kyle, if you would tell us a little bit about your experience with Boys Town and how many books you've done or what it's like working with them or where they come from or what it is Boys Town. Is that the Father Flanagan thing?
Yes, that's the Father Flanagan thing. I first learned about Boys Town when I went to college just outside of Omaha, and that was the first time that I'd really heard of Boys Town, but it became a very familiar place for me as we would go into Omaha. So, yeah, they do incredible work with just a wide variety of kids. And their publishing imprint does a lot of work with the social and emotional learning texts. So a lot of their books are problem solution type things. If you've got a kid who's always interrupting, there are books about that. If you've got kids that are having trouble waiting their turn, there are books about that. You know, so there are just a huge variety of social emotional learning books that help kids deal with the problems that every kid experiences growing up.
So, Kyle, how did you discover Boys Town Press, or did they discover you?
They discovered me. I think they were on the lookout for a new illustrator for a Julia Cook book, and they found my profile, and I might have applied to it. Either way, we found each other, and I think I've done 9 books with them, 10 maybe. There's been a lot. But every single one has been kind of the way Gina described, is a lesson to be learned, a behavior to learn. And my nieces and nephews have all learned the things. I mean, I've been surprised. I've had some very stubborn kids that I've known that have learned to be flexible and wait for their turn. And it's all from our book. It's pretty, it's pretty astounding sometimes.
That's really cool. So, Phil, I know that you've had some contact with Blue Cottage Agency, the sponsor. You've worked with them a little bit, I think, on some things. And
yes, I put in a plug for them. They did an incredible job with me, especially with getting my website up, getting some great examples on how I can do a better job of marketing myself, and because Many times we as writers are more introverts than we are extroverts, and we'll sit and write all day and like to be by ourselves. And so marketing and doing things of that nature, and Blue Cottage has come in and done a tremendous job as far as getting some things, making some suggestions, things I can do better, and getting my website, like I say, getting more of a social media presence. And that has been a tremendous help in getting me moved forward and better known. So, yes, I endorse them wholeheartedly.
I know you mentioned social media. I know that every day, or it seems like every day, I get on Facebook in the morning at some point, and you're having a cup of coffee in the morning, and you've got some kind of just a nice little homily or some kind of message or something to say. And I really appreciate your posts in the mornings.
Well, thank you.
Phil
thank
Mills you. Is on Facebook.
I started doing that several years ago. I felt the urge to just relay some of what I was seeing and feeling about different things, and a kind of an inspirational message, if you will. And I started getting so much positive feedback. It has nothing to do with children's books, but I had such a positive feedback. And then sometimes I would receive a lot of messages, private messages that said, I needed to hear that today, and thank you for your mm-hmm. words today. And some were very emotional. I had some that I just lost someone special in my life, and I needed to hear mm-hmm. something, and you helped me through it today. Mm-hmm. And so over the years, I've had a lot of people say, well, when are you going to put all these in a book? And now that you brought it up, they are coming out early next year. I have 365 of them. They will be out in book form, and hopefully that there will be some good taken out of that. And I say I'm putting them out, but quite honestly, it's the good Lord's words. I just am the messenger.
Well, that's true.
Oh, that's exciting. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's exciting.
So I thought about, again, asking each of you something about your books and what it is that you – is there – we had talked about this just with Phil. What is the message? What are the messages? So, like, Gino, do you want to – do you want to weight your books toward message, helping kids with the behavior, or do you want to weigh the books more toward entertainment and fun? Is there a balance? Do you have trouble sometimes with that balance? Like as a working writer, how do you?
Yeah, it is. I don't want to be teachy preachy because, right. You know, I don't want it to be a bedtime story where they just really like they bonk out on the first page. So there has to be, for me, an entertainment value to it, but there should also be some fun and some relatable story that they can take something good about the storyline and maybe apply it to their own lives. Because I do think one of the things that's interesting about reading and kids' books is that a lot of times you can preach at a kid and preach at a kid and finger wag at a kid. And if you could get them to relate to a character in a story, they will get the message, not realize they've even been taught, and start doing the better behavior. And I think that kind of stealth teaching is a really good thing. So it's balancing the two out, at least for me, and the stuff that I'm doing.
So Kyle, when you illustrate, like, we've got the Holly series. Holly's a real girl in a real city or suburb with a real mom and a cat that's pretty realistic. So do you enjoy doing those kinds of books, or would you sometimes lean toward more of a fantastical, I wish I could cut loose and do some four-eyed monsters or some big purple monsters or something? I mean, what do you like to do the most?
That's a great question. I do enjoy this style very much. It's kind of what I grew up sort of wanting to do. I was always watching the latest, you know, Pixar release, and so I was always trying to emulate that type of style. But yeah, sometimes I get a project that comes along. It is good to break free from the from the real world. I mean, even not so much. I think I have a copy over here. This was more like Looney Tunes, Tom and Jerry type stuff.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
It's called Toby's Tummy Troubles. He just eats all the wrong foods, and I get to illustrate the fantastic side effects. And one of them is belching fire, and one of them is there's a whole construction crew just like building a cement wall in his stomach. Because anyway, so that stuff is very enjoyable. And so kind of what Gina was saying, I do think a balance is great. Sometimes I like to do things like that where it's just for laughs.
Yeah. And Phil, you've got, we talked about this, you and I, that you have a couple of dogs, you've got Bandit, you've got Scooter, you've got animals. Animals feature prominently in your books. Did they inspire you, or is that just coincidence that those were?
Well, I think animals, to a certain degree, children love animals. And it's a good way of getting your story across by having talking animals, if you will. And I agree with Gina, you got to get some fun in there. And whether it's a snapping turtle who's a protagonist in Tommy, or whether it's a dog that knows the truth on certain things, and he's the kind of the moral compass of the little girl, and whether she's going to fess up or not, he kind of is brushing against her. Come on, you know, fess up a little bit. So yes, I like to use animals, and kids love animals. I've been surprised at the number that love turtles, and everybody loves a dog. And so, yeah, I like to do that. But like Gina, I try to have a message in each of my books, each of the stories, whether it's accepting responsibility, the importance of friendships, following instructions, honesty, things of that nature. I'm working on one now in which the little boy needs to learn patience. He has absolutely no patience. And so there's some ramifications for that. And so I'm working on that. I think I might. A couple of years ago, I gave a talk to the Southwest Writers Group in Albuquerque, New Mexico, about writing children's books in a video game world. And I think we as authors need to take a hard look at how we're doing our stories and writing our stories now, because we're competing with video games. We're competing with social media and things for the attention of a lot of children. And so it's going with the traditional story arcs and things of that nature. We may need to do some reexamining of that. Another thing we may need to do is, and people ask me all the time, well, it must be easy writing a children's book. Well, no, because adult, you can say, or 18 to 80, you know, you can pretty much follow the same format. But are you talking to a 4-year-old or a 14-year-old when you're writing these stories? So, yes, there's challenges all the line. So I try to put a message in there as I go to answer your question, and not hit them over the head with it. I put some fun in there as well, and hopefully they'll learn something from it. And so far, the feedback has been good.
We have a question. Can I jump in with a question?
Sure.
Do your characters surprise you? Or do you just know when you sit down and you start writing, you just know exactly what they're all going to do?
Oh, no, they don't. I don't know. So I had an idea for Love, the Love book, because I kind of mapped out this idea for a series. And it was kind of interesting because in Hope, I looked in the edge of the page, and all of a sudden, Holly had inherited a cat. And Kyle did just stuck this cat in there. And it was just this, it was just some background. I mean, the cat wasn't really, and then it's like, okay, this cat started like living in my brain here. And so that really changed the direction that I was thinking of, or the way the action was going to play out. It didn't change the message, but it changed the way the action was going to play out in the Love book, because all of a sudden Aunt Gladys just showed up on the scene, and there she was. And so it was a fun, different way to do it. But no, I don't always know exactly how it's going to pan out. Just a general idea. But the other thing is, you're balancing out for these picture books. These are for young readers. And so in my head, I'm always thinking, I want to appeal to the kids, but I also want to appeal to the one who holds the wallet, and that's their parents. And so it's balancing out something that their parents are going to like and something that they're going to like. And so sometimes that's a little bit, I mean, that's a little bit trickier than it originally sounds like. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's just 30 pages long. Anybody can do that. And it's like, no, it takes a while to play it over.
And let me just add to that, so like the story of love is show and tell, is that love is not just a word or an emotion, but it is a behavior. And the way you treat people, the way you treat the object of your love, whether it's your cat or your mom or your dad or your loved one, it's the way you treat people. And so originally the idea that Gina was playing with was, well, look, so Holly's got these friends and she's got her mom, and how does she treat her friends and how does she treat her mom? But then Kyle had added the cat, and just as you were saying, Phil, Gina was sitting here saying, well, kids love dogs and cats, and kids understand about often one of their chores is to feed their cat or take care of their cat. And it all kind of clicked for Gina. And I was kind of ringside, you know, I could watch as this all started to go. It's not necessarily about her mom or her friends. It's about the cat. It's how she treats the cat. And of course, you know, hilarity ensues because she ignores the cat. She doesn't feed the cat. And the cat goes a little nuts and starts tearing the place up. And so Holly learns her lesson.
Yeah. Yes.
But Kyle did such a, I mean, all of the illustrations are so wonderful, but one of the things that I love is that there are like little Easter eggs in there. For instance, Holly and her friend Claire are in the backyard, and there are hollyhocks alongside the house for Holly. You know, so you've got little things like that are there for fun. So that was great.
Yeah.
You're not the first writer that I've snuck a pet into their book. I try to do it every single time. And sometimes like, where'd you get that guy from? I just thought maybe you'd like to adopt a pet.
That's fun. Folks, I'm just looking at time real quickly. And if we can, we're just going to break away for a moment. And we are going to hear about one of the places that you can find the books of all of tonight's guests, as well as many of the guests that we have on Rendezvous with a Writer. And that is our Out West Shop affiliate page on bookshop.org. And when we come back, Richard will take us through the next section. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shop's bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com, find books and CDs on the menu, choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer. Explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Rendezvous with a Writer. We're talking about some great children's story writers and a super illustrator.
Yeah.
And Richard is taking us down the path here.
Isn't that fun?
Go ahead, Richard.
So I wondered what if each of you could talk about what you're going to work on next and what the future looks like. What do you think the future looks like? So this is a double question. What do you think the future looks like for kids' books with artificial intelligence and AI? And are you moving forward into the, you know, fearlessly into that with a new project, or are you sitting back for a year or two? You know, what are you all doing? So Phil, what are you working on next?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I'm working on another children's book involving a young boy that needs to learn about patience. And as I tell people that I'm working on that, they say, well, you know, so-and-so or my son or my daughter needs to know more about that. I think I'm plunging ahead on that. I've got another one I want to do. I've got a dog here who loves, in our neighborhood, there's horses behind us. There's a wooded area next door that has a doe with twin fawns this summer. There's squirrels, there's rabbits, and he's become friends with all of them, believe it or not. And so I want to do something more of a picture book, probably about Charlie, it's his name, and all the animals he's befriended, and they friended back. And so I want to get into more of that. As far as the AI is concerned, I'm not really getting into that at this point. I think one of the things that I've found is, as I do a lot of festivals and book signings and the like, and I've spoke to some elementary schools and the like, is there is a still a strong desire to read books and hold that book in their hand. And so I think there's still not only a market, but a need for children's books and to do what we're doing and try to continue to do it in a well. I can't overemphasize enough, and Kyle, this is a plug for you, the importance of the illustrator. You know, I can write all day long, but unless the books have been successful in large part, and maybe I want to downplay myself, but they wouldn't read the words unless they liked the illustrations to start with. And so, for example, my book Mud Between My Toes, you know, right there, they look at that book, they immediately pick it up and say, all right, I can relate to that. And the children are interested in that as well. So as far as what I'm working on, still working on children's books in the more traditional way. The importance of the illustrator is still important, but I get kids that ask me all the time, well, how do I become a good writer? How do I become like you? And I tell them, in each and every time, start out by being a good reader. So there's still a need and a desire.
That's out good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what are you working on next, Kyle?
Well, first I appreciate Phil for talking about how important the illustrator is, and equally the author. I can attest to, like, if the author is, you know, writing some good engaging stuff, it gets the wheels turning better in my head, and I can come up with some better imagery. I think we both go hand in hand, and the product is better as a result. I'm still going full speed ahead on the traditional children's book. I don't think that's anything that's going to be going away. In fact, I've seen quite a bit of a backlash to AI-generated content as of late. So I'm not too concerned about that. I have a series I'm working on. There are three books. I think the first one is coming out the end of this year. But I think they've got six, seven planned. They're going full steam ahead. So I have not seen much of a difference in the market, and it's encouraging. So I'm sticking with it. And I have clients in other industries, but I'll always do children's books because I love them.
That's great. What are you working on next, Gina?
The next Holly book is Peace, and it's about peace coming from inside. You can't like shove peace on top of somebody and say, feel peaceful. It doesn't actually really work that way. And then I'm also kind of restarting a Substack that I've kind of let fall to seed. So that's what I'm hoping to get going again in the last part of the year here. But one thing that I always find interesting, there was an AI bit of video that was a Facebook reel or something like that. And you know, Kyle, I don't think you're in danger of losing your job anytime soon, because this woman's, you know, she's kind of walking down the street and she's got three arms, like literally three arms coming off of her. And I'm like, just not seeing that. So real artists are really important.
Oh, that's good. Go ahead.
Do you know your artists personally? Are they the artists you've worked with, the Scooter and the Bandit and the Turtle? Are they people that you know, or are they people that the publisher assigned to you, or how did that work for you in your case?
Well, that's a good question. The initial one, Scooter, yes, I knew him. I met him at a festival. He's a great author, Michael Melson. We were both living in Georgia at the time, and we were doing a cowboy gathering in Cartersville, Georgia, at the Booth Western Art Museum. And he had a booth, I had a booth. We started visiting, and we decided, well, you're an artist, and I'm a writer, and let's see if we can work out something on that. Okay. Scooter is, you see that, and she's holding up, is a real dog. It's not called Scooter, but that was a real dog. Lived in North Georgia. He's still up there, as far as I know. And so we worked together on that. So in that case, I did. The second one, Mud Between My Toes, yes, I knew both of those artists. And worked with them closely, and they were friends of mine, still are. And we worked, collaborated on that. We did a couple of things on that. We didn't put any faces in it, so the reader can put themselves in a lot of those things, and a lot of those situations. Also, we put a frog on almost every page, so that even if you couldn't read the book, you could look for the frog. I knew those parts. Then the next one, I didn't. I was working with a publisher out of Virginia, and they sent me the portfolios of about five or six artists, and I chose one. And she and I believe she lives in St. Louis, in fact. We've never met. We talked and communicated, and she made several great ideas, suggestions, as far as the book and the illustrations and what I had in mind, what she had in mind. And we collaborated, and it won a couple of major awards. So that person I did not know, and I honestly still don't know. I've never met her. She could walk up here right now, and I wouldn't know it was her. I met, again, at a festival here in Texas. And we decided to collaborate on a book and do the Turtle book. And she did a fantastic job. She's quite honestly involved in Fort Worth art scene and is well-known and is a very talented artist in a contemporary sort of way. And this was a fun project for her, and she did a tremendous job on it. The story, mutual friend put us together. Jean Abernathy is best known for her Fergus the Horse cartoon series. She's probably known worldwide. She's won a Spur Award for her writing and her actions. She lives in a mutual friend put together, I think, at a Western Writers of America meeting once. But it was her idea to put the black and white scenes in behind all of that, all of those situations, and did an incredible job. And we have talked on the phone. We have talked through emails and back and forth. But again, it's not somebody that I really know personally or would know. I know her probably if she walked up. But so to answer your question, all of the above. I know them and I don't know them. So
okay. That's really interesting.
Yeah. Would you each just tell us where people can find you, your web address, social media, where they can purchase your book? We can start with Gina.
You can find all of the books in the Holly series at Boys Town Press. They're also available at Amazon, and I have a micro memoir and a guided journal. You're going to grab them. That are available at Amazon. The micro memoir is called This Day's Joy, and the guided journal is Finding This Day's Joy. So those two are available at Amazon, and you can find me on the web at ginaprosch.com. That's GINAPROSCH.com. And on social medias, I'm at hashtag Gina Prosch Writes. So.
Richard, where can we find you?
You can find me at richardprosch.com. You can find me at Amazon. Those are the two primary places, though on Facebook, in the last few weeks, I've been doing some little micro memoir pieces every week at Facebook that you can find me at Richard Prosch and see a kind of a different side of my writing, less fiction and just more kind of memoir pieces. Especially pieces that deal with my growing up in a small rural town in Nebraska, and also some things about living on the acreage where we live now, some of the cows, cow stories and things.
Kyle, where can we find you?
You can find all of my work on my portfolio, kylemerriman.myportfolio.com. Easy to remember that. You can hire me on Upwork or LinkedIn. I'm there. You just search my name. Any of my books, same thing. You can find, if you find Gina's books on Amazon, you can click my name, see what I've worked on too. Mm-hmm. So I should probably make an author's page or something. I don't know why I haven't done that yet.
And Phil, what about you?
You can find me on my website, PhilMillsJr.com. I'm on social media under Phil Mills Jr., also Phil Mills Jr., Western author. I'm on Instagram, I think TikTok. I'm not as involved on some of those as I am on Facebook and Instagram. I'm available there. Most of my books are available on Amazon. And I think even a few may be on Barnes & Noble. But PhilMillsJr.com is the best way to get to me and get through me and find out what I'm working on lately. And I have a schedule of events of where I'm at and where I'm going to be over the next couple of months.
Yes. We have a little list of questions here. Is there a question you'd like?
Do we have time to answer?
We might have time.
I'll ask one.
At one. Mm-hmm.
Kyle. On your illustrations, are they mostly computer generated, or are these done by hand drawings and ink, or whatever media you use?
It's basically both. I'm doing it by hand, but it's in Adobe Photoshop. So I got my stylus here, and I've got my tablet, and I'm doing it all by hand. So.
Magic, like magic. Jim, you have a quote.
We have a quote.
Yes. I hope you all had fun. Did y'all have fun?
Oh, a lot of fun.
Yes.
A lot of fun.
A lot of fun.
This is from Phil's book, The Story. And the main character, Billy, has a dilemma. And he's sharing with his dog and his best friend, who's named Mr. Sparkle. And Billy says, should I try to write a report on a book that doesn't exist, or should I tell my teacher the truth? What should I do? We like that book.
Oh, well, this has really been fun. Richard, thank you so much for leading tonight's conversation and for gathering these wonderful, talented, award-winning guests together under the umbrella of Rendezvous with a Writer. We really felt like we got to listen to a really wonderful rendezvous of storytellers. So thank you all for being with us tonight. Let's meet Yes, and you need to keep in touch with us as your new projects, you know, come out to be published. We have not yet really begun to seriously look at 2026, although we know it is right around the corner. So please do stay in touch with us. Let's see. We want to thank again our sponsors, Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison. Thank you, Sam Hassan of LA Talk Radio and Alex Dormont and the Hot Texas Swing Band. Next week, if you can believe it, we kick off October and it's the first Thursday of the month. So Henry Park, film editor for True West Magazine and author, will be with us along with two award-winning authors who have collaborated on a brand new anthology of award-winning Western stories, Silver Shiny Spurs and Gold Medallions. And that's Rod Miller and Michael Norman. And we are so excited that they will be getting us October off and running. So thank you all for being with us tonight. Do you have a closing comment?
We have a parting comment. It's always a great day out west.
Keep writing and illustrating.
And we'll keep reading.
See you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, guys.